In April, federal health officials finalized a nursing home staffing rule addressing minimum hours of staffing time per patient, with standards for RNs and CNAs, while also requiring facilities to have an RN on site around the clock. To discuss how these rules compare to minimum staffing standards already in place for New York, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Richard Mollett, Executive Director of the Long-Term Care Community Coalition, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving quality of life for residents of nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
So the staffing rules finalized by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services appear, at first glance, to be somewhat similar, at least to what's in place at the state level. But what are the practical differences for the facilities that you care about, either in terms of the hours or what facilities are covered or the types of staff that are impacted?
They are pretty similar on paper. I would think the biggest difference is that the federal rule mandates the presence in a nursing home of a registered nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only federal quantitative rule to date has been the requirement that there be an RN at least 8 hours a day, and the other 16 hours can be comprised of either an RN or an LPN, licensed practical nurse. This is something we've been fighting for years, because if you're in a nursing home, by definition, you need 24-hour day skilled nursing care and oversight. And it's really the RN in the facility who is the only one with the ability to oversee resident care, to monitor how care is being provided by the CNAs and the LPNs, and perhaps most importantly, to conduct an assessment of a resident to see if he or she may need to go to the hospital, for instance, or has some other issue going on.
Is it your understanding that the practice in New York right now, given the lack of a RN requirement, is that these facilities don't necessarily have one on site 24/7?
Yeah, that's correct. And the reason why facilities do that is because it's less expensive. It's actually not that much less expensive. We've run some financial analyses over the years. I mean, the difference in salary between an RN and an LPN is, I think, roughly about $8 or $9 per hour. So, you're talking, add that up, 9 by 16 for a whole facility, a day is really not a lot of money when you think about it. On a per resident basis, it's even less. I think one other thing for New Yorkers to consider is that our nursing homes are about double the size on average as the national average. And so what we were really hoping to get into the rule but did not is that there being one RN per 100 residents, because the average facility in California and other states is more, again, like 85 or 100. We have over 200 here in New York. And so how is that RN going to be overseeing resident care, monitoring, et cetera, if there are so many residents? Some of our facilities have 500, 600, 700 or more residents.
Is there an expectation that there are enough RNs to fill this new mandate?
I would say yes. I know that the industry lobbyists have always said no. When I first started 21 years ago, I remember the New York Nurses Association had done a study around that time that found that there were RNs in New York. They just didn't want to work in nursing homes because of the poor working conditions and poor pay. We have in the nursing home industry an enormous amount of turnover. The problem is that, addressing that turnover, because if you have 50 or 100% turnover, which a lot of facilities do, the average is over 50%, that's no way to sustain a viable workforce, and I would say a viable business. So it's about treating your workers respectfully and encouraging them to stay and care for your residents.
So, turning to the hours of care that each patient is supposed to get under the federal rules, the total is comparable to what's in place at the state level. Both are about 3.5 hours, but it seems like there are some meaningful differences when it comes to who's providing that care, with different requirements for how many hours a day from a CNA versus just a licensed nurse versus an RN. Do you feel like there are meaningful differences when it comes to that breakdown between the federal and state level?
Practically speaking, no, because the federal requirement is that you have at least 0.55 hours of RN time. And just, you know, for your listeners, the way that we normally talk about staffing is, you know, how many RNs, how many LPNs, how many CNAs are there in the building divided by the number of residents. And that gives you the hours per resident day. And studies have shown over the years that residents, a typical resident needs at least 4.1 hours of direct care staff time. So 3.48, the federal rule 3.50 is obviously extremely low. It's actually even below the average that facilities now provide. And, you know, with the difference, again, between the feds and the states, the feds require 0.55 RN, and the state requires 1.1 between RNs and LPNs. So really the difference is that the state kind of leaves that time up to the facility, whereas the feds, you know, mandate a minimum of 0.55. But, you know, federal studies have found that you need to have actually at least 0.75 hours of RN time just to meet residents' basic clinical needs.
Well, before we move on, I want to reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Richard Mollett, Executive Director of the Long-Term Care Community Coalition. So under the state guidelines, the Department of Health is supposed to impose a penalty of up to $2,000 per day for each day and a quarter that a facility fails to comply with the minimum nursing staffing requirements. So, although on a quarterly basis, the health commissioner in consultation with others can determine whether there's an acute labor shortage that might explain why there isn't adequate staff to fill the minimum staffing levels. What's the picture like on the federal level? Do you feel like there are more teeth or maybe less teeth in terms of enforcement on the federal level?
Much weaker teeth on the federal level. It's something that we have been talking to people on the Hill and the White House, et cetera, that we're extremely concerned about. Because if you have a standard, what we've seen over and over again, and especially in this industry, is that a minimum standard can easily become a ceiling if there's not good enforcement. And one strong, you know, kudos to the New York State Legislature, one strong aspect of the New York rule is that as it's being implemented, which has been very slow, unfortunately, but it'll be based upon essentially an automated review of the, what are called the PBJ data records. PBJ is a payroll-based journal. And for the past 7 or 8 years, nursing homes nationally have been required to report their staffing for every single day based upon their payroll records. And so what New York did was say, okay, we're going to, you know, electronically be reviewing these, and anyone who is below the number will, you know, potentially face a penalty. What the feds are doing instead is they're going to require the states, like this, our state Department of Health, to survey for this. But survey is what the what's called in the industry the inspection cycle. Inspections are supposed to happen once a year, but in fact, inspections have really lagged. And I haven't checked in a while, but last time I checked, New York State was actually the worst in the country in terms of having on-time inspections of nursing homes. To impose that on the surveys, where there's so few and far between, and they tend not to be very strong, and the surveyors are already kind of overwhelmed in that process when they're in the facility, is from our perspective really alarming, because I just don't see how that will be enforced. And that means that even that, you know, that floor could easily be skirted by facilities because there's just so little enforcement.
Well, finally, turning to the state budget, I know there was some language dealing with the Medicaid rates, and there was not a whole lot more money for the long-term care ombudsman program, which is responsible for visiting and keeping a watch on some of the nursing facilities. I'm curious if any of this stuff stood out to you for good or ill, or whether this was kind of just a shrug your shoulders budget.
with the long-term care ombudsman program. Now, the ombudsman, for people who aren't familiar with it, the ombudsman is a state program in every single state, and it's mandated by the federal Older Americans Act. And ombudsmen go into facilities, they monitor them, they help residents, they inform residents and families, but they also help residents negotiate and navigate challenges, whether it be food or, you know, getting help, getting, you know, better services, or issues of abuse and neglect. And New York was always kind of at the bottom of the country in terms of funding it. And that improved a few years ago. We and AARP and a few other organizations worked together, and thankfully the legislature listened and they increased it a bit, not enough to really bring us on par with the federally recommended levels of funding. The governor did not put anything in her budget proposal this year, but the legislature did. And so the legislature, again, upped it up to last year's level. So it's not where it needs to be, but it could have been much worse. I thought that was good. And then with nursing homes, I wish I was always been that nursing homes are paid and required to provide good care and quality of life for every single resident. So when we see facility, you know, we see neglect and when we see abuse and significant levels of substandard care, those are all violations. And for the most part, they're due to not having enough staff. So I feel like the public is being blackmailed when we're told we need to fork up more money for nursing homes to provide good care, especially when we see here in New York, the Attorney General's lawsuits against several providers have just been breathtaking in the allegations of fraud and financial mismanagement that she has uncovered.
Well, we've been speaking with Richard Mollett. He is the executive director of the Long-Term Care Community Coalition. Richard, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
David, thanks so much. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.